What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with my favorite episodes every single week, expert corner interviews with short-term rental investors willing to share the good, the bad, the ugly of this short-term rental investing game so you can all walk into this game with your eyes wide open. Today, we've got a repeat guest on the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast, Miss Wendy Pogney from Maui, Hawaii. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you. It's good to be back on here, Sean.
I'm excited to catch up. Those of you that are kind of new to listening and you haven't heard Wendy's story before, Wendy has a really nice portfolio that we're going to get into and dealt with a total loss in the Maui fires. She's been through a few things, I would say, over the years. But before we get into all of that stuff, Wendy, remind everybody your background. You know, I just spoiled it that you're over on the islands and always way tanner than us over here in Utah. And so I'm gonna let you tell us our background and our journey into short-term rental investing, a little bit of an update on the portfolio, and then we'll dive in.
Okay, so I have been a hairstylist since I worked in a hair salon since I was 16, then eventually had a hair salon and day spa for over 20 years. And my husband and I always had side hustles and had house hacking and a lot of long-term rentals. And then we took a property that I had my hair salon and day spa in for 20 years. And in the zoning, I could short-term rent. So after COVID, I wanted to downsize my hair salon and move that to a smaller location and then remodeled that home into a vacation rental home. And with my background of, making people feel special in the hair world and a hair salon and spa. And then my husband works for one of the largest hotel chains in the hospitality world. That was a lot of fun. And we had a great time providing great experience for families in Lahaina, Hawaii. And then after that, I would start listening to your podcast. And I loved the idea of having a lifestyle asset. So I said to my husband, you know, we have this other long-term rental, but we never go and stay there. And we love to go skiing. So why don't we sell that? And we ended up buying a place in Whitefish, Montana, and short-term renting that when we're not using it. Then I became a Vodacy member, which kind of changed where I could look in other areas of the United States. I really learned how to run numbers in different areas to find if a property will be profitable, and learning all about the design and setting up the experience the Vodacy way. And then I bought a property in Waco, Texas, that's right next to the Magnolia Silos and Baylor University. And after that, we sadly lost the day after we set the one up in Waco. We came home and we had a fire in Lahaina, Hawaii, where we lost the whole town, including my first vacation rental. And it was an old sugarcane plantation style home in historic Lahaina. And so then we knew that was going to be a long road. So then I decided, okay, well, maybe we should take some of our loss of income, which, by the way, I learned about having proper loss of income due to being a member of Vodacy. So I would say that has paid for my Vodacy membership over and over.
I'm glad to hear that. Not that I'm glad to hear that's how it paid for itself, but it's it's good you were lined up with the right insurance.
Yes. So, I mean, that's very important. So then we bought a place in Blue Ridge, Georgia, that's right on Finding Town Creek, and had Mike Whitfield, who's the Vodacy design, do that. And then my latest project is in Fredericksburg, Texas, and it's a large property that can sleep 20, and it's kind of like a little mini resort.
Yeah. And that was you acquired that one, I think, since the last time we talked. I think you did both Georgia and the Texas property since we spoke last time. I know you had Waco. I can't remember if you were right in the middle of that process with the Georgia one, but it was, I know you're operating really well with all these properties. I know the Waco one's number one, I think the number one 3-bedroom in that whole market, right?
Yes, Waco is the number one. And I checked this morning and all of them are now in the top 1% of income earning in, of that bedroom count in that location.
Love it. It's awesome. And you guys know who are longtime listeners. We always post these properties. I always say success leaves clues. Go check them out. Go see what people are doing to stand out. And Wendy's properties are no exception. They're doing amazing. And so I know that the Fredericksburg one was a little bit bigger one. You were telling me before we hit record that this one, it was a little bit of a construction project. And it's kind of, you know, some of the challenges that come with construction from, you know, dealing with it from a very far away. Let's talk a little bit about that before we dive into some of the other stuff.
Okay. Yep. So, you know, I found the Fredericksburg market and I was almost ready to give up on it because the prices to purchase there are pretty high, even though, the revenue is high, you know, it just kind of wasn't penciling out. And then this one came up and it had fallen out of escrow a couple of times and had terrible photos, but I was like, oh, it's a good location, good bedroom count. One of our other Vodacy members, Beth, who is a realtor there, I met with her and went and toured the property. And, you know, I had the vision of what it could be. And we were able to get it for a great price. We got it for like $550,000 for, at the time, it was a 5-bedroom.
Really yeah.
Yeah. That we made into a 7-bedroom and added a pool, a pickleball court, a mini golf, a game room. The kitchen's remodeled. All the bathrooms are remodeled. So we put in another $500,000 into it. But with creative financing, you know, we were able to refinance because it appraised for so much more and pull out the money that we did put into it.
So you did, what did you do, bridge financing on the front end, or did you do creative financing with the owner, put the money in, and then put permanent financing at the end?
We did, I don't really know what it's called, but it was like a construction loan financing. Okay. Yeah. And then we refinanced into the permanent loan after the construction was done. Love it.
How did you, when you do, I mean, that's a massive remodel, a massive value add to the property. How did the, did you feel like you walked into some equity there? Did you, you know, if you bought it for five and put five into it, was it just worth $1 million, or do you feel like you had some equity by going through all of that work?
Yeah. So at the appraisal after it was done came in at 1.3.
Okay. Nice. So, yeah, that's awesome. It's one of the things that I always, as an investor, one, those projects are stressful. They take a long time. They're capital intensive on the front end, especially depending on the type of bridge financing or short-term financing you have. It can be expensive or just using all your cash up front. But then also, are you getting better than a one-to-one return on investment? And I always tell people, I used to fix and flip all the time. And I'm like, I'm always looking for at least, you know, 1.2 to 1.3 return on my investment. You did even better than that. You put 500 in and gained 300,000 in equity. That's a 1.6 multiple on your investment, which is awesome. You know, and that's what we want if we're doing any sort of value add, because there's a lot that goes into it, right? It's not as easy as just buying a property that's pretty much set up and I just got to go. It's hard enough to furnish it and get the artwork and get it set up. But when you add in a construction project, it's even that much more difficult.
It is. And, you know, living so far away from the project makes it a little bit more difficult. But the construction didn't go as smooth at first when we flew in, and it was supposed to be turnkey, almost done. And it was terrible. There was a lot of things that were...
It wasn't quite done.
No. So I had to cancel, you know, my trip home and stay longer. And, but we worked through it and got it done, and now it's doing great. And we really have only had our first full year, and we had to block off some time to fix some of the construction that didn't go smooth. And right now it's the number two revenue, property, and the only property that's doing more revenue right now is a home on 100 acres that does like wedding venues and stuff. So
So not really even comparable at all. Like it's just, it's a totally different. That's awesome. Congrats on that. When did you launch that one? When did that hit the market?
Oh, let's see. I'm like in a whirlwind. It's probably because we October, like maybe December. So December this year was a full year, December 2026. Okay. December 2025
was your full year, was your first year.
Yeah, but we had some time blocked off in there to repair the pickleball court. Was kind of pooling and flooding and some fun stuff, but it's perfect now.
You got it fixed. That's what's important. It's a beautiful market. I love Fredericksburg. You're right. The values of the homes skyrocketed right after COVID, and it got really hard to pencil out, but it's a really fun area. And you've got a really fun portfolio, really built. I mean, where you guys live in Maui, you've got properties, you got your ski property in Montana, you got a property all the way over in Georgia, kind of the North Georgia mountain areas. You got the wine country, hill country in Texas covered, you've got the college town covered, with the Magnolia ones in Waco. So how did you navigate how you were going to build that portfolio? Did it have anything to do with what you guys wanted to do as far as visiting? I know it started there with the ski property, but how'd you start navigating these other markets? Was it just, what came available? I mean, it was a means to an end, or were they truly lifestyle assets that you guys are very interested in as well?
I would say Whitefish, Montana is a lifestyle asset, and, cash on cash, it probably doesn't bring as much, but we love it. And appreciation there is really a great market right now. Mostly we are in this for an investment, to make a profit, to find a good market. So I'm open to all different markets. We love Blue Ridge, Georgia. Like I don't see ever selling that property. I know you shouldn't say that you never want to sell it, but it's pretty special.
Yeah. And so that one didn't start as necessarily a lifestyle asset, but it kind of turned into one where you guys are like, we're keeping this one. This is a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That it's interesting. I own one really close to you there in Cherry Log. I bought it as just more of an investment, kind of a case study. I was just doing it as more of a challenge case study. And it's one of our favorite properties. My family, if I ever sold that one, I think I'd get, burned at the stake. And
it's a great property.
Yeah. They just love that area too. They have so much fun, and it really has become a very much a lifestyle asset, where it didn't actually start it as more of an investment for us. And so that's I know that when you said, we lost the property in Lahaina, and we said, we know that permits and stuff are going to take a little while. We're going to place some money somewhere else. Talk to me about the rebuild process, because I think this is something that is a frustrating thing to hear, but also important for people to understand. In certain areas, sometimes it's tough to get those permits to build back.
Yes. So, it's very slow. My property is zoned in a commercial zone, and as far as I know, there's still not one commercial building permit. We've had a good amount of residents that have been able to get permits and build back, but it's still pretty slow. I'm working on getting my permit. I'm just kind of hitting a lot of walls. It's also in a historic zone, and they still want it built back to the historic, which is great. I want to build it back to the historic look. It just has more challenges. So I think if we make it at the 5-year point, we're going to be lucky.
That's crazy. It's really kind of sad. I mean, you hear about the fires in LA, same sort of a situation. It's like nobody can get permits to rebuild. You hear about the fires just devastated Maui. And really Lahaina, right? It really ripped through that entire city. And how is it affecting what's going on there? Like I just told you, I'm a tourist coming into Hawaii. We always go to Ko'olina on Oahu, And we're going there tomorrow, actually. And so by the time you're listening to this, I'll be sitting on the beach sipping Mai Tais, hopefully. And so, but part of, I was telling you, my wife always wants to go back to Maui. I'm very much a creature of habit. So like I used it to my excuse of not going to Maui right now. I'm like, I don't think it's rebuilt. I don't think they're rebuilding anything yet. And so I'm curious if that's true, if it actually is affecting like what's going on there, because if these businesses were gone and they're not able to get commercial permits to rebuild, what are the restaurants doing? What are the places, the shopping centers, what are they doing there?
Well, luckily it was just one area really, but sadly it was the historic area of Lahaina. And it was a special part, but Ka'anapali is still great. You know, okay. Napili, most of the west side is still great and beautiful. And there's places to see, you know, we have a shopping center, Whalers Village, which has still restaurants. And so there's plenty to do and see. But the fires definitely slowed things down. And then there's also things happening at the legislative level where they just voted to slowly phase out 8,000 condos that have been allowed to short-term rent in apartment zoned, that's the type of zoning for like 50 years. So it's actually a great time to buy on Maui. If you want a short-term rent, you would want to buy something that's hotel zoned, but there's still good prices to buy those now because the condo market has taken such a dip. And if you don't need a short-term rent, you could really get a good price on.
Good buy on it. Yeah. How's your, what's your outlook as far as rebuilding? Are you still planning on getting that, rebuilding it? If like that 5-year mark hits and you got the permit, you're still excited to get that rebuilt?
Yeah. We can't wait to rebuild it.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I hope that comes sooner rather than later. I'm not a fan of stalling out on those permits. And kind of a lot of times people are forced to sometimes walk away from those properties. You hate seeing that as well. You know, you want to see them be able to get back to the status quo, get those properties built back up. And I'm glad to hear that in my excuse for not going to Maui, at least to my wife at this stage, was a made up excuse, and that things are actually, I already kind of knew that because we have a lot of people that go there. And so I hear that a lot, but I also kind of was using it to say, hey, listen, I want to keep my regular routine intact.
Next year.
She just says, we just got to go more than once. Like we always go once a year to Hawaii. And so it's like, she's like, hey, or go longer. I was telling you, you know, I do a week trip and she wants to do 10 days or 2 weeks because she knows that if I do that, I would kind of island hop a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely should, because Maui, there was a saying, a Hawaiian saying, Maui no ko'oi, which means the best. So I think it's the best island, but.
I actually hear it's the best island by far. Like I hear that a lot. Like most of my friends that I go over there, like, why do you keep going to Oahu? Why don't you come over to Maui? I'm like, I like it. I like where I'm going. I actually don't like Waikiki and stuff. I don't like that part of Oahu. That's not my jam. But I do like Ko'olina. So it's, I keep going back.
Yes. Well, we'll change you 1 year.
All right, deal. It's hard to not like any of those islands. I will say that. And so, the hardest part for me is like right now it's in the morning for you. Like it's it's such a massive time difference. Sometimes that's a little challenging when you're trying to do business or deal with stuff over here on the mainland. Do you find that challenging, by the way? Do you think, or do you just get used to doing everything real early and then you're done for the day?
It is hard because, you know, especially my one property is on East Coast time.
Yeah.
But luckily I'm a morning person, so I'm up early. And so it's always worked out fine.
Are you, so talk to me about the management of these properties, because I know that, you're rolling into a little bit of a different venture. And so talk to me a little bit about that decision and what, you know, how we're handling the management of all these properties.
Okay, so I started from the beginning self-managing my one in Lahaina. And for me, it was very similar to running a salon, and the software is kind of very similar, and the hospitality experience, making sure that the guests have a good experience. And so I just kept going with managing all of my properties all around the US. And it's been very successful because I put a lot of tools in place, a lot of great systems. And then I have all the Vodacy steps and to create the experience and to stand out from your competition. I have so much fun learning new things. I think the hairstylist in me, you know, hairstylists always like something new and different. Yeah. And so I'm learning everything that's new and different in the industry all the time. You know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is new. I have to learn this. And, you know, and so my newest adventure is that I want to start opening myself up to managing properties, starting on Maui, because that's my home. And, you know, I think I can have a lot to offer, especially a lot of these homes and condos are really struggling right now because we have taken a dip in revenue after the fire. And then with the talk of phasing out the short-term rentals, people are afraid like, oh, if I book, will it get canceled? But it's a slow phase out, so people don't need to worry about that. And if it's hotel zoned, it's not going to be phased out. But I just see a lot that can be brought to the island of Maui for these vacation rentals to make them stand out from their competition, to as you say, get their unfair share of business. And I've proven that in 4 different markets across the US. And I guess 5 if I include, while I had my one here, it was definitely a top performer. And I would love to bring on a select few properties to help guests to manage and decorate, design the experience for their properties.
How do you have any yet under management there in Maui?
No, I'm going to
get started.
My oldest is graduating from high school. And then we're going to go on a big trip to Europe. Uh-huh. So after that, I'll have a lot more free time to dedicate to, you know, because I see a lot of the properties and they really don't have the design to stand out from their competition.
Yeah, it's as big of a vacation area Maui is. And, you know, you can't think of Maui without just thinking of vacation, but it's not a massive vacation home investor type of a market. And so you don't get a lot of it feels a little old school, right? When you look at a lot of this stuff and it's a little bit, okay, you've recognized different ways to stand out, kind of create your unfair share of business. I think that would be, you know, a huge partnership for investors that are in that area to be able to work with somebody like you that's had success and understands what the consumer likes in this space, understands, you know, one of the most overlooked aspects of operating at the top of your market is the management side of it. And so where you've had, you know, it's by no accident that your other 4 properties are operating at the top of their market, because it's how you deliver that experience. We're in the experience business. You do, you know, and I always tell people, you can't have a top property without a top manager. You just can't do it. I don't care what you invest in. I don't care how great your design is. I don't care how great your property is. If you don't have a good manager that's delivering that experience and communicating and doing a great job there, you can't have a top property. You might raise to the top right out of the gate, but instantly your reviews are going to hit and people are going to start to talk. And on the flip side, you can have mediocre properties that are operating, you know, they're basically outperforming their capabilities because they have such a great property manager. And so I always, like, when we're searching for property managers, I'm looking for people just like you. I'm looking for those boutique managers. I'm looking to see, do they have properties in the top of the market? And I'm reaching out to them and saying, hey, do you want to work with somebody else? And so it's, when do you have plans to expand beyond Maui? You can start in Maui. You're going to kind of, that'll be the hub, or is there, or, and that's where it's going to stay as far as the management company, or do you have plans to do it where some of your other properties are at?
I would like to start in Maui. I want to max out at 10 properties. Yeah. I want to keep it boutique. I feel like if you get too big, and that's what I see happening a lot here, there's a lot of big property management companies that's all they're doing is managing. They're not creating the experience, giving you know, staying on top of like making sure that that one property is outperforming the rest of the market.
Yeah.
And you can't do that on that large of a scale. Right. I would be open to where I have other properties just because I have the systems there and I could fly out, you know, to get the property set up. I wouldn't want to do, I know people pick up co-hosting all over the US, but I would want to be able to go there often and check on it.
Yeah. Yeah. How, talk to me about, your properties in those other areas. You mentioned, you know, we've got the systems in place, but we need to have people in place as well. Right. And so you talk to me about how you built your teams, your boots on the ground teams in those other areas.
Yes. My husband's like, oh, you have a knack for finding people, but, so that's basically what it is. Like you need an amazing housekeeper.
Yeah.
That's kind of the first thing. And I've been very lucky to find the housekeeper and take very good care of them. And then you need a maintenance man or woman yeah. that can come if there's an emergency and come quickly. So a lot of times I put them on a retainer so that they can be there quickly. Yeah. They're going in once a month and looking for preventative maintenance, changing out the AC filters. You know, I have a checklist for them to do. A good plumber, an electrician on hand. And then my large property, I do have a co-host that goes and every turn. So every time a guest checks out and before a new guest checks in, because it's so large and there's so many little things that could go wrong that my housekeeper's amazing, but it needs that second person to go behind.
Yeah. You kind of need to have that person go fluff it, right? Like make sure that it's just like looking good when the guest walks in.
Exactly. And if something does arise, you know, she can run down there and get whatever they need.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have to have redundancy built in with cleaners? Like you have multiple cleaners in an area, backups like that are coming in, or do you just have like, do you have one really good one that you just know you can trust?
I have one really good one in Montana. I have a really good backup one as well, but most of my properties have the same cleaner and they're not a big cleaning company. They're, you know, one person, or they maybe work with like, they have one employee because I feel like when you get into the bigger, same, like a bigger management company, you know, you get into a bigger cleaning company, they're just not going to keep up on everything as well.
So awesome, Wendy. So as we're talking about this, if I'm listening to this, like one of our steps before we get into acquisition and before we choose our location, there's a reason why I have a 9-step process and step 3 is partner. Step 4 is locate, because we look for those partners, making sure the infrastructure is there before we go invest in these areas for a reason. And so if I've got somebody listening that is thinking about Maui for their management and they're looking for some good, a good partner there, how do they find you? And we'll post this in the show notes, but tell us the name of the company and how they find all that.
Okay. So the company and the website is C2SkyEscapes, like SEATO SkyEscapes.com.
Perfect.
And then we have an Instagram that is StayC2SkyEscapes.com.
Perfect. And we'll post that. I'm looking at the website right now and it has the Instagram tag at the bottom of it. So you can follow and go check out all those properties. Again, we always post that stuff anyways, but so what's on the agenda as we wrap up is like, what does the future look like besides, and maybe that's the focus now is probably building the management company. Is that going to be the next focus, or we have more acquisitions on the horizon?
Well, I'm hopefully would love to build back the Lahaina property. There is another property in Fredericksburg that I'm looking at that is kind of tempting. So I could do that, and then growing the management company. Cause you know, I just feel like I have a lot that I've learned over the past 6 years and that I could help a lot of people that want to be a top performer.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would absolutely give my recommendation to reach out if this, like, again, you know, when you've, there's a lot to share, right? There's a lot of things that you can help people succeed with. And so, and I, if I'm a betting man, I'm not betting on one of those three things. Knowing you, you're probably going to pull off all three of them. And so the future is going to always going to be busy for you, I'm sure. But it's always fun to catch up. As we wrap up, Wendy, what, you know that I always put you on the spot and ask you for advice for your younger self, things we learned, anything you want to share that comes to mind as a piece of advice for people listening in?
Well, I would say invest in real estate. You know, I feel like I did start pretty young, but maybe not young enough, whether it's long-term, short-term, commercial. But I do have a special place in my heart for the short-term. And if you're thinking about Vodacy, the tools that I've learned, you know, because I did it myself first, and I've grown and learned so much by being a member of Vodacy.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's always, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. I always say that. Today's day and age, there's somebody that's been down the road before you, willing to share and share the like we always say, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because there's mistakes that we make that we want to avoid, and there's things that we do right that we want to double down on. And, you know, and that's really all we try to do at Vodacy is really just say, hey, listen, we've been doing this for a long time, and there's a lot of people like Wendy that have been doing it as well and all willing to share the things that we're learning along the way, and we can just all accelerate our progress and maximize our successes. And so I appreciate you sharing that and saying that. And joining me for round three, I expect to have a fully operational management company. I expect Lahaina to be back built up, and we're going to maybe have another Fredericksburg property or
yes,
somewhere
I
else.
Love that.
There we go. There's the to-do list for you.
Yeah, so, I love it.
Awesome. Awesome, Wendy. Well, listen, I appreciate it. Those of you listening, we appreciate your time. We know how valuable it is, and we always love that you spend it with us. We hope you get value out of these shows as much fun as I have on these conversations. I know you do because you give the feedback in the comments and on the reviews. And I always ask you that favor that we don't run ads or sponsorships. You didn't have to listen to a whole bunch of interruptions on commercials. And so the only way the show grows is if you guys share it and you want to know somebody else that would like to walk into the short-term rental game with their eyes wide open, share the show. Those things help us. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on, because then those really smart algorithms will put it in front of other people just like you. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode is pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.